Lord this morning. I hate to really imagine where I would be, and in jail, out on bail, on my way to hell, that's for sure, as the old saying goes. But the Lord interceded in my life. He intersected, showed me the path I was going on was the wrong path, showed me that I needed to be born again. And November 19th, 2002, I got birthed into the family of God. Haven't been the same since. Not perfect by no means, ask my wife, ask my daughter, but I strive for perfection. I strive for perfection because the perfect one is in me. Makes sense, doesn't it? That's what Paul says. He says, I forget those things which are behind, and I press, I reach, I go after those things which are before. And as I woke up this morning and asked myself this question, I want to ask you this question. I said, Lord, I want to go after you today. And then I started to evaluate my life, examine my life this past week. Did I really go after the Lord? So I want to ask that question to you as well this morning. Are you going after Him today? Are you going after Him? When you go after Him, He shows a better way. When you go after Him, there's peace that follows. When you go after Him, there's joy for the soul. Whenever we stop going after Him, there is billows of fear, clouds of doubt. There are things that do not satisfy. And trust me, I know. Because going after Him sometimes is hard. But I do want to say the way of the transgressor is much, much harder. So this morning, let's go after Him. And I'm thankful that the Lord is on our side. He's in our corner. And this morning, I feel like preaching. Praise the Lord. Praise the Lord when I walk in this place and I know I've been prayed for. You know who you are who's prayed for me this week. And I thank you for that. Prayed for my family. And this morning, we want to welcome back Brother Allen. God bless you, partner. Good to see Miss Terry, his helpmate. Brother Allen's been prayed for around here, and brother, we tried to stand the gap and keep things going. I like to think I made at least a B, but I tell you, Brother Allen makes it look so easy. He's up here, he is abiding in his spiritual gift, and one of many he has, and just so thankful to have him back with us this morning. Was able to be at ease a bit more and spend a little more time reviewing my message for this morning. And so for that, I'm so thankful and grateful. Continue to remember Brother Allen and Miss Terry as he moves forward with his health. And because we need him around here. We want him feeling good too during the week. So let's remember him. Let's remember Brother James Townsend as well. Miss Shirley texted me this morning. They actually had a good night at the hospital last night, and so that's good. But please continue to remember him. They are awaiting some tests this morning. His O2 oxygen levels have been down. This has been more problematic than even his heart. They've gotten rid of a lot of fluid from those areas so he can breathe better. But continue to remember them. Him and Miss Shirley in your prayers. Got a wonderful report from David Smith. And as you know, we prayed for David Smith during Jubilee time, our preacher, on that particular evening. You all know Brother David. And he's been battling cancer. And he began some medication. His last x-ray showed that it actually grew. But this time it did not grow. It had decreased by 50%. So don't tell me God can't do it. Don't tell me He can't do it and can't do it again, because God can. But I believe it's through prayer, and the earnestness of prayer is what reaches God's heart. Praise the Lord for Brother David Smith this morning with his decreased cancerous tumor by 50%. Let's remember in our prayers Miss Marianne Sandy, who has knee surgery. I got it before you did. I'm sorry? 2 weeks. Okay, 2 weeks from now. Is that November 9th? Okay. So we'll remember her. Good to see Mary Kelly with us. I'm sorry our Braves didn't make it, but more room to worship, right? Instead of watching the Braves all the time. All right, so let's remember these things this morning. And I know there's several others that need prayer, things going on. Miss Shauna Bendy will be here tonight with Brother Michael. He's preaching at a church in Alabama this morning, but there will be puppet practice. Puppet practice at 4 o'clock today. And so remember that if you want to be part of that. You don't have to be seen. Not even your hand has to be seen. It'll be clothed in a puppet. So remember that. That'll be a good time. Try and prepare for our fall fellowship trunk retreat, which is next Sunday evening at 5 o'clock. Next Sunday morning, the Lord willing, will be our youth service. And so pray for that as well. A lot going on, a lot taking place this month. We are upon the holidays already. Really don't know how it could be, but it is. So just remember that. All right, did you come this morning to worship? Say amen. Amen. All right, let's go to the Lord in a word of prayer, and we'll give it back to Brother Allen. And I know God wants to speak to us this morning. Father, we love you today. We thank you. Lord, we stand in amazement at the things that are accomplished in your strength, Lord, the things that are accomplished because you're in our corner. Where would we be? Where would we be without you on our side? Lord, we're just thankful that where we are with you on our side this morning. And we've come together, we've congregated ourselves together, Lord, to give you praise, to hear a word from you. And Lord, I know you want to speak, so I pray that you'd give us the ears of the listener. Lord, I pray that you'd touch my tongue, oh God. And give me a clear head, a calm heart. Gird up the loins of my mind so that I can think clearly, Lord, and try to communicate by the help of the Holy Spirit the things that I've studied and pondered. And I pray, Holy Spirit, that you'd use it for the hearts of your people this morning. We're so very thankful that you're with us. Thankful for Brother Allen, Miss Terry. God, continue to bless them. Brother Townsend, that's in the hospital. All of the things that are taking place, Lord, around us. Even within our fellowship, Lord, those that are sick, those that are afflicted mentally, those that have been touched financially, all kinds of situations this morning that we really don't even know about. We greet and meet everyone with a smile, but we know that behind those smiles there's real life crises taking place. That's what motivates me to stand every Sunday and preach your word. And I pray, Lord, that you use it this morning. We love you, Father, and we thank you for Mount Calvary, but we also thank you for Calvary Baptist Church. In Jesus' name we pray and give thanks. Amen. Let me say something right quick. Miss Dawn Capistrano is with us this morning, and she, on her behalf, she wanted to give thanks for those who pitched in and helped her during her time of crisis and her surgery. So I told her I would mention that this morning. You know who you are. Thank you from Miss Dawn.
Church, would you stand with me this morning? Choir, stand with me. Let's sing together. But I want to say this before we get started. I was glad when they said unto me, let us go into the house of the Lord. Amen. Church, we've got to be careful not to take that for granted. When you missed a couple of weeks, Brother Harold, because you just couldn't get here. When you just couldn't get here. Boy, when I walked in the doors this morning, Brother Larry, I thought, boy, it's good to be in his house. And even greater, it's great to know that he's in the house. Amen. Pastor's talking about Calvary. Can we sing that? Turn with me to 139. 139, let's sing, At Calvary. On the first, and I'm going to need you to sing this morning. Here we go. Yeah. sing, church? Singing, thank you. You can be seated. Choir, you can be seated as well. Let me just say this evening, choir, we won't have choir practice this evening. I'm probably going to be resting, but it is good to be in his house this morning. Amen. And please remember all the prayer requests, all the announcements this morning. It is amazing just how fast time is going. We're soon to be eating Thanksgiving dinner. Amen. It's right around the corner. But thank you for all the prayers. Pastor has a card. I'll have him share that with you here in just a few moments. But again, I want to thank you for all the prayers, especially, and everything you've done for me. But it's good to be back in his house this morning. It's good to see a great crowd here. I know some of the children's homes are away today. So pray the Lord would just keep them safe. Let's ask the Lord to be in our service this morning. Pray for Pastor. Pray for the offering. Brother Brian, would you take us to the Lord this morning in a word of prayer?
Jesus' name, that you know. faith alone, sight unknown, and yet his eyes were watching me, and the still holds. Amen. Though the ship is battered, the anchor holds. Though the sails are torn,
I
You've touched my life in so many ways. Words cannot express how thankful I am for all the cards, gifts, special deliveries, phone calls, texts, but most of all of the prayers. You have such a good heart. The card says you're always saying something thoughtful or doing something kind. And today I want to be sure you know how very much you're appreciated. With love, we love you, church, Alan and Terry. So he wanted to share that. Bless. Love you, brother.
This morning, this is an older song that we used to sing a long time ago, but I'm so thankful that I know the peace speaker. I'm thankful that when the storms are raging, we talked about in Sunday school, you may go through something in your life and people may say, how are you even still standing? But when we know Jesus, even when we feel like we're in total chaos and the storms are just crashing in over our head, there's just a peace that's there that comes with a relationship with Jesus. So I just pray this morning that, first of all, that you know the peace speaker. Because when I truly don't know how people go without him. I can't process that. I don't understand how you keep going in this, especially now in the crazy life that we live in, how people walk without him holding their hand and speaking peace in their life. So I just pray that if you're going through a storm, that you know the peace speaker. And if you don't know him this morning, I pray that you wouldn't leave here without getting to know him.
It was such a lovely day, and the sun was shining bright. A gentle breeze was blowing my way, not a storm cloud inside. Then suddenly, without warning, storm surrounded my life. But even in the storm, I can feel the calm. And here's the reason why. I know the peace speaker. I know him by name. Controls the winds and waves. When he says, peace, be still, they have to obey. I know the peace speaker. Yes, I know him by name.
There's never been another man with the power of this friend. By simply saying, peace be still, he can calm the strongest wind.
So now I'll never worry when storms come my way. I know that he is near to drive away my fear, and I can smile and say, I know the peace speaker. I know him by name.
yes, I know him by name. When he says, peace, be still, they have to obey. I know the peace speaker. Yes, I know him by name. I know the peace speaker. Yes, I know him by
absolutely. Amen, brother. Amen. Thank you. Brother Harold just mentioning some things over in Israel that's taking place where we need to be paying attention to. All kinds of things are shaping up. And now it's high time. It's high time to, if you don't know the Lord, meet him. And if you know him, dig in a little bit deeper with him. If you have your Bibles this morning, turn to the Old Testament book of Judges. Last Sunday morning, we were in Judges. And last Wednesday night / Sunday morning, we looked at Samson. I couldn't get rid of Samson out of my mind. Last Sunday morning, we talked about the jawbone of the donkey and how that jawbone was strategically placed there when Samson needed it the most. And the emphasis of that message is that God will provide for our needs. He will strategically provide for us as the need arises. But this morning I want to look at some things out of Judges chapter number 3. I want to bow for a quick word of prayer. And honestly, I have like a 2 or 3 page introduction. And then I got like a 2 or 3 page message. And I really am not a clock watcher, but I am a clock watcher. Because your rear end will not pay attention no longer than it can stand. Or you will not pay attention no longer than your rear end can stand, let me say it that way. And so time is a factor in the service. But let's pray and then we will introduce the subject matter. Father, we love you today. We thank you. We praise you for who you are, for what you do. And Father, I pray in the next few moments that you would help us to just focus on what we've studied. Holy Spirit, I pray that you would apply it to every heart. Give me a clear head and a calm heart. pray that you'd slow the tempo down just a bit so that we know that we're hooked up in the right place. We love you today. We thank you in Jesus' name. Amen. The book of Judges, chapter number 3. We're going to read in just a moment, verse number 7 down through verse 11. But by way of introduction, let me say that since the death of Joshua, Israel experienced very little peace and victory. Very, very little. God used Judah to lead Israel into battle, by which they did great at the first. In fact, they caught that evil tyrant, Adonai Bezek, verse number 6 of chapter 1, and they took care of him. And so they rejoiced over this. They had victory in their hearts and minds over this, and victory continued for a while. And still in chapter 1, verse 19, while they experienced this victory, and they were riding out this victory as long as they could, and I will say to you and to myself, ride out those victories as long as you can. But in chapter 1 and verse 19, Israel could not defeat the chariots of iron that were in the valley, although the Lord was with them. This is not our message, but I'll stop here. There are those situations that seem like things will never change. There are those situations that seem solid and stout and firm. They're unmovable. They're not going to move. The enemy will not be defeated. These could be, or this could depict the chariots of iron. So sometimes in life we're faced with chariots of iron. And so they drove out the enemy on the mountain, but could not drive the enemy out in the valley. I want to say this morning, the God of the mountain is the God, the same, the very same God that's in the valley. And so they just could not do it, although the Lord was with them. Suddenly their confidence in God waned. And Israel decided to make the enemy their slaves instead of fight, defeat, and run out of the land. Chapter 1, verse number 28 says that. They made them tributaries and put them to work. So they didn't want to fight. They didn't want to defend or defeat and run out. They were lazy. They wanted the easy way out. And they thought they had the best idea of making them a workforce for them. But that didn't work. Let me say this. God's plan is the best plan. No matter what we can scheme or drum up, we don't know what God knows. God said, drive them out. They kept them in. They tried to make them work for them. But that didn't work because after a while, Israel actually joined them in their worship of false gods. And they started to live a lifestyle that pleased the flesh and did not please the Lord. If you look in chapter number 2, verse 1 through 5, we see the angel of the Lord, or the Lord himself, told Israel that specifically, look if you would in verse number 2 of chapter 2, and ye shall make no league with the inhabitants of this land. Make no alliance with the enemy. Make no company with the enemy. Make no covenant with the enemy. I don't care how great your plan seems. Do not do it. Ye shall throw down their altars, but ye have not obeyed my voice. Why have ye done this? And so the angel of the Lord told Israel, you shall not make no league with the enemy. You shall destroy their altars and do thus and such. But because Israel did this, did not obey the voice of God, the enemy would be a thorn in their side. Is anybody dealing with any thorns this morning? And this is not a thorn message, because some thorns are given unto us. The things in life we cannot control. But then there are thorns that we bring upon ourselves that God uses to get our attention. Is there any thorns in your life that were not given by God for a specific purpose when you were being obedient, but now there are thorns that prick and stick? So because Israel did not obey, the enemy would be a thorn in their sides, and their gods would be a snare unto them. Israel is embedded now in the lifestyle of the Canaanites and Jebusites and all the rest of them. They are ensnared with their gods. They are intermingled. They are invested. They are tied. They cannot get out. They are thorns to them daily. They prick and they hurt. They do not cause lasting pleasure, but they do cause instant pain. But yet Israel is continuing to go in this direction. And then finally, the generation of Joshua and all the people of God that stood, that fought and paid the price, they all died. Now we have a new generation. We have a mixed multitude that wasn't supposed to mix themselves. We have a mixed multitude, a new generation that arose. The Bible says in verse 10, chapter 2, that did not know God. And also all that generation were gathered unto their fathers, and there arose another generation after them, which knew not the Lord, nor yet the works which he had done for Israel. So sad. I want to say that's the direction that our country's heading in. If us, the church, the remnant, do not continue to hold the torches of God and keep on fighting for our families, fighting for our liberties, fighting for our freedom, just fighting for Jesus, if we don't continue this, there will be a generation that don't know God. And it's being birthed even now. Every Sunday you attend church matters. Every time you read the Bible matters. Every time you say a prayer, it matters. Why? Because there's some little ones that are watching. There's some young people that are following. Don't let the devil tell you that your little Bible study doesn't matter. Don't let the devil tell you that your little Sunday school class doesn't matter, because it matters to God. God is in the midst of raising a new generation that follows him. Amen. Keep on passing that torch. Keep on going to church. Keep on involving God in the equation, because there's coming a generation that does not know the Lord. They're a new generation. Now, Coke, the soda, is not on my diet. And that's a shame. It really is. Ball game or no ball game, I love Coca-Cola Classic. And I love Marco's Pizza. Every time I get up here and I say that, this is my way of venting so that I don't have to, so you know about it, and I don't have to go home and eat it. Although I have discovered a cauliflower pizza from Marco's. But anyway, I love Coke. Coke doesn't love me. But there came a time when some CEO, some person up there on the ladder, decided they'll change the formula and come up with a new Coke. You know what happened when that happened? Coke almost lost everything they worked for by trying to make a new Coke. They said this, we'll just stick it out with the older recipe that's been tried and challenged through the years and that's maintained. We will stick with Coca-Cola Classic. Much like that, there is a new generation that thinks they know it all, think because of their technical skills and their time on the internet that they don't need any kind of supervision or guidance or leadership. There is a younger generation, the millennial generation that's being raised now that are in our colleges, and even older ones that are in our high schools that don't need God, or they say they don't need God, they don't want God, they could do for themselves. It's a new generation. But I say this, we need to return to the older generation. Because, you see, pride comes before fall, young people. You don't know it all as much as you think you do. You do not know it all. And I say that in love. I really do. I was young and I thought I knew it all. Finally, the generation of Joshua and all the people of God that stood and fought and paid the price, they all died. Now a new generation arose. A generation that knew not God nor the works that he had done. The Bible says that in verse number 10. Now, this new generation did evil in the sight of the Lord and served Balaam. They forsook the God of their fathers and served the many gods, get this, around them. Chapter number 12, listen to this. And they forsook the Lord God of their fathers, which brought them out of the land of Egypt, and followed other gods of the gods of the people that were round about them, and bowed themselves unto them, and provoked the Lord to anger. And so there were many gods around them. There were many idols to show obeisance to and bow yourself to. I think it goes without saying in 2022, there are many gods around us. There are many of opportunities to bow ourselves and show obeisance to some kind of entities, to some kind of thing, an idea, some kind of organism even, something that has life in it but not eternal life, has life in it but not a life of joy. There are things that we could bow to all around us. There's sex, drugs, rock and roll. There's many gods that we can bow to around us. There's money. There's sports. There's just many, many gods in 2022 all around us that we could hook up to if we're not careful. And it could control our life. Does money control your life this morning? Does sex control your life this morning? Does drugs control your life this morning? Do sports control your life this morning? Well, it did to the Braves lost. That didn't control my life. That was just a joke. But what is it this morning that is at the very center part of your supper table? What's the main dish in the middle? What is it that you could absolutely say, Brother Justin, I didn't intend for it to be this way, but my main dish this morning is money. I got to have it. Lots and lots of money. Money's good as long as money don't have you. Brother Justin, this morning, sex is in my main dish this morning. I'm not married and I'm just a single person, but I got to have it. And I go and I commit fornication and all of those things. Listen, I'm preaching to somebody this morning. What's in your main dish this morning? Is it pills? Is it pot? Is it drugs? Is it alcohol? What is it? Is it ego? Is it pride? Is I got to be number one? They have to be behind me. Is it jealousy? Is it envy? What's in your dish this morning? What's in your dish? The Bible says that there were many gods round about them. Many gods round about them. You say, Brother Justin, you're too excited, too loud this morning. I'd say, you're going to have to get over that because I worked real hard to get to where I'm at this morning. Very hard. Whenever we walk out of this building, there are things that try to attach themselves to us. And we're fallen creatures. We are damned. Our flesh is not saved. Our spirits are. And so we have to constantly walk out of here and go from place to place. Get off me. Get off me. Leave me alone. I'm serving Jesus. He's my Savior. Get off me. Paul, when he came ashore in one place in the book of Acts, was warming himself by a fire. I believe I have it right. And a venomous viper jumped out. Gotcha. Can you imagine? Out of all the Discovery Channel episodes, and there used to be a show called Snake Salvation. Anybody ever seen that? They banned it because it was mountain preachers who handled snakes. And one of them got killed. Actually, a few of them did. I couldn't imagine working in the yard and I don't know if I stand there and look at it or Christy, save me! Come out the house with a 9mm, pow, pow, pow. Be two funerals, one for me, one for the snake. But the Bible says that he shook it off. He shook it off. We leave here today. Everything's fine now. Everything's great while we're together in worship. We leave here today and we go out into a very, very magnetic world that is pulling us. And when things try to attach themselves to you, you see a little God and you like to give some energy and time to it, and it has itself on you. You can't shake it. You can't get rid of it. Now's the time to really, really ask Jesus to help you shake it off. But that's what we have to do. We have to shake it off. But there were many, many gods around them. And so, this new generation, they did evil inside the Lord. They served Balaam. They forsook the God of their fathers and served the many gods around them, including Ashtaroth. Ashtaroth, chapter 2, verse 12 and 13. Because of this, the hand of the Lord was against Israel, and he gave them into the hands of the spoilers, or robbers, if you would, and sold them into the hands of the enemy, so that they could not stand against them. They were easy prey. They had been robbed, all of their goods taken. They have now been taken into slavery where they had a slave master. And Israel was greatly distressed. Verse number 15, look at it, chapter 2. Whithersoever they went out, the hand of the Lord was against them for evil. Terrible position to be in, God's hand against you. As the Lord had said, and as the Lord had sworn unto them, and they were greatly distressed. Now, this is not a gloom and doom message. And I'll show you why. Look at the next verse, verse 16. What's that first word say? Nevertheless. Nevertheless. In spite of their disobedience, nevertheless, the Lord raised up judges, which delivered them out of the hand of those that spoiled them. I want to say in verse number 16, thank God for the nevertheless moments. Thank God this morning. Thank God that God shows mercy. When we start to worship other gods and we show more time and give more place for them, thank God there's times when God shows mercy and he forgives us when we ask him for it and he restores us. God showed mercy and He raised up judges to give Israel rest and peace and security. Let me say this. This was fantastic. Don't you agree? That in spite of what happened and what took place in Israel's history, that God would still have his plan fulfilled. He would still show mercy, raise up judges. This was fantastic. And you think Israel would learn their lesson and obey God? Not so. Get this. After each judge died, Israel went back to whoring after other gods. That's what they did. God would then stick that thorn in their side and they would cry for help. You see, the reason why God stuck that thorn in their side was not only for disobedience, it's because that's the only time he would have Israel talk to him. It's when they were crying for help. That ought not be the case this morning. That the only time we talk to Jesus is when we need help. That ought not to be the case in my life nor your life. Of course, he's there for that. He has great mercy and grace. But that ought not be the time that he hears from us only is when we're in trouble. And so he applied the thorn. They cried for help. It's wonderful to hear from my children. Although they're in pain, at least I'm hearing from them. And so he would raise up another judge. He would show mercy and continue to be good and send relief through these judges. Now, this morning, we get to chapter 3, where we have our first judge being put in place and our first enemy that he would face. I'm going to introduce these two people, and then we will set the message up for tonight. In verse number 9, we have Judge Othniel. Othniel. Get that on the screen when you got a second, guys. Judge Othniel. Look at verse number 9. And when the children of Israel cried unto the Lord, the Lord raised up a deliverer to the children of Israel who delivered them, even Othniel, the son of Kenaz, Caleb's younger brother. So in chapter 3, we have judge number 1, Judge Othniel. But then in verse number 8, we have the enemy. And that is Cushrasatham. Boy, I worked hard on that one. Look at verse number 8. Therefore the anger of the Lord was hot against Israel, and he sold them into the hand of Cushrasatham. Oh yeah. Cushrasatham. You never heard of Cushrasatham? Man, where y'all been? Cushrasatham. Man, the popular guy. Cushrasatham, king of Mesopotamia, and the children of Israel served Cushrasatham 8 years. So that's who we're dealing with. We got basically a synopsis of what took place during this time frame, and now we have it judge by judge what happened. Judge Othniel. Let me just barely get into the first. And then we have the enemy, Cushrasatham, which was king of Mesopotamia. And so the whole intent this morning and tonight would be this, is to go line by line and give the circumstances and define some names and apply to our life. So the title is Judge Othniel, and we're to mention a few things about him. But I just want to tippy-toe, if I could, into my first point, and we'll bring it to a close. In verse number 7, let's read the verses first. And then in verse number 7, we see the rebellion of Israel. Verse number 7, Judges 3. And the children of Israel did evil in the sight of the Lord and forgot the Lord their God and served Balaam and the groves. Therefore, the anger of the Lord was hot against Israel, and he sold them into the hand of Cushan-Rishathaim, king of Mesopotamia. And the children of Israel served Cushan-Rishathaim 8 years. And when the children of Israel cried unto the Lord raised up a deliverer to the children of Israel who delivered them, even Othniel, the son of Kenaz, Caleb's younger brother. And the Spirit of the Lord came upon him, and he judged Israel and went out to war. And the Lord delivered Cushan-Rishathaim, king of Mesopotamia, into his hand, and his hand prevailed against Cushan-Rishathaim. And the land had rest 40 years, and Othniel, the son of Kenaz, died. That's our verses, verse number 11, verse 7 through 11, 7-11. To complete chapter number 3, we see Judge Ehud and Judge Shamgar. The first thing I want to say about the life and times of Judge Othniel is we see the rebellion of Israel, which we covered a great deal already, but let me mention this and we'll save our other two points for tonight. They did three things in verse number 7. They did evil, forgot the Lord, and served Balaam in the groves. And the children of Israel did evil in the sight of the Lord and forgot the Lord their God and served Balaam and the groves. They did evil. They made a league with the heathens. Now, this morning, I will say that we are not to shun those who do not know Jesus. We are not to be unkind to those who do not know Jesus as their Savior, those that are lost, those that are living in sin, that do not know Him. We are not to be mean, hateful, or unkind. We are to show them love. We are to witness to them. But we are not to make a league with them. Come ye out from among the heathen. Be ye separate, saith the Lord. Touch not the unclean thing. We're not to marry the lost. We're not to be unequally yoked together, not only in marriage, but but as in very, very close friendships. Why? Because one's going to leak out on the other. And I want to tell you, it's easier to be pulled down than lifted up. And so they did evil. They made league with the heathens. They married them. We have the mixed multitude. It's a mixture in God's pure line, how it was supposed to be. But now it's mixed. It's mixed. And it wasn't supposed to be that way. And so Israel, they did what the others did. They enjoyed what the others enjoyed. And because of this, the Bible says that God, their Lord, was angry. He was angry. I want to ask you a question at the end of this point, and I want to turn it on you, and then I'm going to close. So they did turn the question on you, did evil, but then they forgot the Lord. The word forget means to ignore. It means to act as though they never had met the Lord at all. Now, I know there was a new generation, but there were some who met the Lord, and now we're looking at the fact that they're acting like they never met Him at all. They never met their Maker, the mercy giver, the grace bestower, the one whom all good things come from, the peace speaker. They're acting like they never met Him. They're just going about doing their own thing and making league with those they're not supposed to make league with, marry those they're not supposed to marry with, doing evil. And they're acting like they don't know better. Now, I know what I'm about to say. The devil always tries me. I have a record of the things I've said from this pulpit in other churches where not many days after the devil tried me. I know it was him because it was to bring out evil or it was to bring the worst out of me. If I lose my way and end up in the world, a has-been preacher, backslid on God, it's not because I don't know better. Just a Christian, a believer that was once in church and now out of church, and I'm not living for the Lord anymore, this will be in spite of me knowing better, because I know better. I know God. You say, you're mean to tell me, Brother Justin, the devil will tempt you that hard to get you out of church? He hadn't ever done that to you? Huh? And can I be a little more accurate? He starts up here. Because if he gets me, he gets y'all. What benefit is it to listen to a preacher or pastor who's been failing in his spiritual battles all week? All you will get is a wounded pastor preaching. There's too many churches of wounded pastors preaching. I'm not going to be a wounded pastor preaching. You know why? Because I'm preaching from your prayers. And I know some this morning. Listen to me. People have called me and texted me and told me they're praying for me. You pray for me, there'll be a preacher that preaches with patches and band-aids and war wounds wrapped. Too many Christians try to operate being wounded. And so this morning, if everything falls apart and I end up in the world, it's not because I don't know God. It's because I chose my way. I chose my way. This burden was too heavy and I couldn't settle it. The Lord was on this side trying to grow my faith, but I just couldn't withstand it because I had other things going on in my life that was getting my attention and getting my energy and my strength. I couldn't let these things go. And so I said, Lord, I can't live for you. I'm just going to do my own thing. God, you're cruel. God, you're unkind. If the devil can get you thinking that God is not good in everything he does, he can get you out of church. Y'all know what happens when I step down here. I don't preach down here. These are the deep waters. I'll be honest with you. There are some things that's happened in life where I've had to just settle that only God knows. There's some things that's happened in life to some close friends of mine that I can't understand. And I either A, accept that God is good and he has a plan, or B, walk away. Now you listen to me this morning. I've known good people, pastors, in their 40s that have died, body ate up with cancer. I can't understand that. I can't understand how God can call the best. I can't understand this morning how God can allow the most faithful to get ate up with cancer and die. Some survive, praise the Lord. I can't understand why some of the faithful, some of the most going after God people get mangled and killed even in car accidents, and why the drunkard walks away. I can't understand that. But you know what? It's not my job to understand it. So, how I settled it is, and listen, my whole point is, if the devil can get you thinking that God is not good, he's got your core. And I got to testify before I bring it to a close. From my heart to yours, I've tried to understand that for a long time. Number one, Johnny Ivey, how in the world God could have him shrivel up on a stick, turn yellow, and die. But that man finished out preaching in God's behind the pulpit. He preached behind God's pulpit. So this is what happened. Last week we had a very hard week. I don't share my news. We don't share our news with everybody. We rely on discerning Christians to pray. Hard news on Monday, hard news on Tuesday. Man, by Wednesday it was tough. It was really tough. Went and preached at Grace Christian School. It was the best service I've ever preached there. In fact, the principal got up on the pew and started preaching himself. That was all God. But somewhere in the beginning of that week, I took Lily to school, and I pulled over into the movie theater parking lot in Hiram. Sometimes I do that. I just drop her off. It's quiet, and here lately it's been cool. And I get my walking done in laps sometimes there in that theater parking lot. And I'm not going to sound super spiritual, but I'll tell you what happened. I had my phone, and God told me there was just this desire to listen to Adrian Rogers. I just had this burning desire to pull up Adrian Rogers on YouTube. I can't tell you. I just, Adrian Rogers, Love Worth Finding. I listened to Adrian Rogers preach. He talked about some of the strategies the devil uses to get to you. And one of them is he tries to tell you that God's not good. You listen to me this morning, whether you're watching on Facebook or here. I can't believe you would doubt that God's good, Justin. Listen, you get deep in the battle enough, you'll be tempted with a lot of things across your mind. Well, Lord, what about this person that died cancer, car wrecks, and all that? And even the stuff in my own family lately, Lord, I can't bear the thought of this happening. God, I know you're good, but are you on some ego trip? Just to show Justin Hales who's boss? In that moment, that's how I felt. But God used Adrian Rogers, being dead yet speaketh. He said, Christian child of mine, if the devil can get you doubting the goodness of God, he can get you off course in a heartbeat. The devil is a slanderer all the way from the beginning. He told Eve, what's wrong with the tree in the middle? Had her doubting the goodness of God. That was all the other trees in the garden. God was good to Eve. Adrian Rogers preached. He said, God was so good to Adam and Eve. God was so good to Adam, he gave a wife. God was so good to Adam and Eve that he gave all those trees. But the devil says, is God good? Because he has his finger on one thing you're not supposed to touch. Is God? God's not good. Or he'll let you touch all them trees. Adrian Rogers got to preaching and talking about that. And said, I can show you in the Bible how God's good. He says, no good thing will he withhold from them who walk uprightly in thee. And he got to talking about how good God is and how good, how that God, our Father, wants to bless us and how he wants to build us up and encourage us and how God does everything with purpose. And I want to say that morning my burden lifted and I stood in that parking lot and I said, God is good to Justin Hales. Come what may. I don't know why God does what he does. I don't know why he allows the best to die. I don't know, but I know this, that God is good. And you see, I knew God was good before then, but I'm basing it on scripture that God's good. Sometimes we feel that God ain't being good or fair, but the Bible says he's good. You know why I can hold my head up today and say God's good? Not because of the good things he's given me, and yeah, he has been good, but God is good because the Bible says he's good. That's real walking by faith. God etched that in my being that morning. I really think I walked a dozen laps. I don't really know. More than anything, it was a load off my chest. I was able to do my responsibilities that day. And I texted Christy. I told her, I said, come what may, God's good. God has put us together. God wants good for us. I'm not going to be bashful in saying that God wants good for my family. Because he does. Some he takes through the rivers for that goodness to ultimately come. Some he takes to the flood, but everyone he takes to the blood. He can't cross the bloodline, Brother Allen. He can't cross the bloodline. This morning, I'm standing here telling you that I fight real battles like you do. And I don't want to be a wounded, bloody, bleeding preacher. I want to walk in here on Sundays with bandages on and preach from my overflow. Because God, ultimately, above what this mind can comprehend or think, God is good. And if we didn't have a God that was up to something, we would be on the same level as He was and is. Father, we love You this morning. We thank You. We praise You. Lord, I pray that the message was given across, although we didn't get into the life of Othniel yet. We will tonight, if that's Your will. I pray that in the next few moments that You give liberty during invitation time, which is the most important time, second to that of the Word of God. And Lord, just do what we as humans cannot do, and we'll praise You for it in Jesus' name. Amen. Let's stand to our feet. If you need to come, invitation, altar call is open for any need, for praise or for problems, you come. Anybody? Come on down. This is the right place to be. You may just want to praise the Lord. You may need to pray for someone else. Sing it if you know it. Jesus, I have God can give you strength. He can give you courage. The same way we're going to talk about tonight, how He came upon Othniel. And He was able to judge because of that courage. God can give you courage. He can give you strength. Some responded. There might be others. Another minute or two. If you need to come, just slip right out. We're on God's time this morning. We're going to get to the good part tonight. Thank you. as Brother David's playing softly, I do want to reiterate a couple things as these are finishing up. A puppet practice for those who want to come and be part of that four-hour fall fellowship night, which is next Sunday night. So remember that at 4. And, of course, remember our 5 o'clock service tonight, no choir practice. And remember next Sunday morning will be Youth Sunday. And so we're looking forward to that. And, again, remember Brother James Townsend in your prayers and Miss Marianne Sanvey for her knee on the 9th. Does anybody have anything else? About that.
And I didn't think it was coming from nowhere, so I just wanted to give God the praise.
Yes.
And Joe was kind of complaining, like, Chuck, I don't think I can handle any more. I said, brother, listen, God will not give you any more than you can carry. And if you carry 500, get ready for me to put 505. But he will give you what you need.
Yes.
And it will be okay. And it just, Thursday, it just, and my sister was with me. We're talking him out in the parking lot and giving all the
Amen.
Two dudes didn't chew on a bullet because of God.
Amen.
It was wonderful.
Thank you, Brother Chuck. That's amazing. Anybody else? All right. Well. Yeah. Sounds good. Yes, ma'am. All right. Praise the Lord. Thank you for sharing that. Been through enough, huh? Quite a few of you's been through enough around here. Anything else to mention? All right. Well, we will dismiss in a word of prayer. And hope everybody has a blessed and safe afternoon. Looking forward to seeing you here in just a little while. Proceed long. Would you close us out?